Al Warsh said to me this morning, I thought this was one word study, because we're going to end the study with two words. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. That's been the subject of our readings from this past week. In the passage that Dalton read for us, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what those Jews on Pentecost Day were told. And these blessings, the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit, were not just for them, because Peter goes on to say, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And that would indicate to us that these blessings, the forgiveness of sins through Jesus, and even the gift of the Holy Spirit, are for you and for me today. That brings a question that's been debated through the years. What is the gift of the Holy Spirit? What is that gift that was promised? And if it's still to be enjoyed by Christians today when they obey the gospel, what is that gift? And again, it has been debated. And I'm reminded of people that have told me, I never heard this personally, but Guyon Woods and Gus Nichols, two respected men, preachers, scholars, that would talk about this, debate this subject in the open forum at Fried-Hardeman University. And they were on different sides of the understanding of what the nature of the gift of the Holy Spirit is. But they began the discussion as brothers, and they completed it as brothers. And I'll never forget that. So there's room for debate, and I'm just going to seek to be biblical. But here's some related questions. Does the Holy Spirit personally dwell in a Christian? Is the gift of the Holy Spirit himself, or a gift that the Holy Spirit gives? How does the Holy Spirit dwell in the Christian? What effect does the indwelling of the Holy Spirit have upon a Christian? And how can a Christian know that the Holy Spirit dwells in him? Great questions. I'm going to offer some answers, with the caveat that I'm still studying and I want to learn and I still have a bunch of questions. But here's my conviction based upon my study of the Scriptures, that the gift of the Holy Spirit refers to the indwelling Spirit in the child of God. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And understand that gift to be the Holy Spirit himself who comes in to live within the child of God. Wayne Jackson wrote this in an article on this subject. The fact of the matter is, almost every Greek authority known to this writer contends that the genitive of Acts 2:38 is epexegetical. That's a big word. What does that mean? That is, he describes, that the Holy Spirit is the gift. The Holy Spirit is the gift. J.W. McGarvey said the expression means the Holy Spirit as a gift. And the reference is to that indwelling of the Holy Spirit by which we bring forth the fruits of the Spirit and without which we are not of Christ. These are just a sampling of biblical students that have come to this same conclusion. Granted, there are others who come to different conclusions. But where I am in my study is, I believe the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, is the Holy Spirit himself. And I want to share with you some supporting evidence from Scripture. In Acts chapter 5, Peter refers to the Holy Spirit as a gift from God. Notice what he says, "We are his witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit whom God has given to those who obey him." Notice he says that the Holy Spirit was a gift from God given to those who obey him. Paul affirmed that every child of God receives the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 3. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. He's talking about how we become children of God, saved in Christ. It's in that very context that he connects this discussion of the Holy Spirit with sonship. Galatians 4 verse 6. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, father. Abba, that endearing term for father that signifies that close relationship. And it's the spirit within us, Paul says, that enables us to have that relationship. Paul affirms the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in the Christian's body in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. The context is he's teaching that fornication, sexual relationship outside of marriage is sinful. And Christians should flee fornication. 1 Corinthians 6, here's some of the reasons why. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body. The Christian's body is holy because the Holy Spirit dwells in the Christian. If you profane your body with fornication, then you're desecrating the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's what Paul is teaching in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Paul also makes a direct statement about the indwelling of the Spirit in Romans. Notice what he says, Romans chapter 8. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. And these are sampling of the passages of Scripture that seem to me to point to this very fact, that the gift of the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit himself. And that gift is received when we obey the gospel, when we're baptized into Christ as penitent believers for the forgiveness of our sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit himself. How can we know that the Holy Spirit dwells in us? How can we know that the Holy Spirit indwells us? I want to answer that question by asking another. How can you know that when you're baptized into Christ as a penitent believer, that your sins are washed away? How can you know that? And the answer is because that's what the Bible says. And I suggest to you the same way we know we have forgiveness of sins when we obey the gospel is the same way that we can know that the Holy Spirit lives in the Christian. And over time, as we continue to follow Jesus, we should see the fruit of the Spirit being born out in the Christian's life. So what does the Holy Spirit do for the child of God? I'm kind of laughing at myself as I go through this, because the class that Troy Baker and I teach just spent months on this topic, and I'm trying to cover it in one lesson. So it's going to be an overview at best. But what does the Holy Spirit do for the child of God? So let's make that the second major point here, the work of the Holy Spirit in the child of God. Let me suggest two things to you that the work of the Holy Spirit in the child of God is not. From my study of the Scripture, I do not believe the work of the Holy Spirit in the child of God enables us to perform miracles. I do not believe that's what the Scriptures teach. The Holy Spirit does not do for us today what the Holy Spirit did for the apostles and those upon whom the apostles laid their hands. Those were miraculous spiritual abilities. And when we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit today, it's not in that. It doesn't enable us to do those things. Those miracles were part of confirming the word and the messenger of the word. Those miracles showed that these men were inspired of God, and those miracles confirmed that very fact. So the work of the Spirit in the child of God today does not enable us to perform miracles, nor is it manifested strictly through human emotional experiences. Many would suggest to you today that you can tell that the Holy Spirit is in you by the emotional experiences that the Spirit brings about in your life. I don't think that's the measure at all. The Holy Spirit may impact our emotions, and I'll give you an example as we move along. But again, I affirm to you that the way we know that we have the Spirit of God dwelling in us is the same reason we can know we have forgiveness of sins. And that is because the Bible tells us so. There's the authority in that matter. Not our emotions, which, quite frankly, are an emotional roller coaster, are they not? So much in our lives. Well, we still need to answer the question then, what is the work of the Holy Spirit in the child of God today? I want to suggest five things from the Word of God. And one is, the Holy Spirit guides us through His Word. The Holy Spirit guides us through His Word. I believe a clear distinction should be made between the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, only because the Word of God states it as such. The Holy Spirit is God. He is a spiritual being. He is of a different nature than anything or anyone, anybody in the physical world. He has inspired the men who spoke and wrote the Word of God. 2 Peter chapter 1, prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Speaking of the process of inspiration there. So the Spirit inspired these men who spoke and wrote the Word of God, but the Spirit is not the Word of God. These inspired men who wrote the Scriptures have a relationship to the Holy Spirit, much like a soldier has with his sword. One is the agent, the other is the instrument that he uses. In the discussion in Ephesians 6 about the Christian armor, Paul says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The agent is the Spirit. The agent's sword is the Word of God. The Spirit is the agent. The Word is the instrument that He uses. And certainly the Holy Spirit helps us today by giving us guidance through the sword of the Spirit, His Word. By His work in the Scriptures, we can know God's will. We can be motivated by the gospel story. We can obtain the knowledge and understanding necessary to grow to spiritual maturity. We can know the basis and the results of divine judgment, all because the Holy Spirit inspired men to write, to speak, and to write the will of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is God-breathed. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I like what James D. Bales wrote. The Spirit speaks to us through the written word. To refuse to listen to the word or to be indifferent to the word is to be indifferent to the Spirit. For the word is the word of the Spirit. So what does the Holy Spirit do for us? The Holy Spirit guides us through His Word. Secondly, the Holy Spirit gives the child of God assurance. The Holy Spirit gives the child of God assurance. The indwelling of the Spirit gives assurance to us as Christians that we are God's children. Here are three ways of looking at that. One is through the word seal, S-E-A-L. The Holy Spirit is the seal of the new covenant, much as circumcision was the seal of the old covenant. Notice Ephesians 1, verse 13. Paul writes to Christians, in Him, in Christ, you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom you also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You were sealed. The Holy Spirit is the seal, the sign and the seal that we are in a covenant relationship with God. Another word is the word pledge, or your Bible may have guarantee or deposit. And that's found in the very next verse in Ephesians 1. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee or the pledge or the deposit of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. A simplistic way of looking at it is the Holy Spirit is a down payment for our eternal inheritance. A deposit which pays part of the total debt and gives a legal claim. Earnest money ratifying a compact or a contract. It implies an act which engages to something bigger. The Holy Spirit is God's pledge to us as Christians that something bigger and better awaits us in heaven. But also, the Holy Spirit is the mark to identify us as being in the family of God. Again, Galatians 4, verse 6. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Romans 8, Paul echoes, you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The Holy Spirit is the connecting link of our relationship with God. We can call God Abba, Father, because we are identified as God's children with His indwelling Spirit. Let me share with you some words from Jimmy Jividen. We Christians do not have to wallow in the mire of despair and doubt, wondering if we are accepted as God's sons. We're not stepsons, sons-in-law, or duty-driven slaves. We are children begotten by the Father, born of the water and the Spirit, and have received the mark of sonship, the Holy Spirit. We do not have to have self-doubts of our relationship with God. God has acknowledged us as His sons. We have blessed assurance. We are confident of our salvation and assured that we have a Father who loves us, hears us, and cares about our every need. How do we know that? Because the Bible says that the Spirit is the mark to identify us as God's children. He's the seal. He's the pledge. He's the connecting link between us and our Heavenly Father. What is the work of the Spirit in the child of God today? He provides strength in the inner man. Strength in the inner man. Ephesians 3 is Paul's prayer for those Christians at Ephesus. By extension to you and me today. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. Paul, how does that happen? How does the Holy Spirit provide strength in the inner man? I'm sure we could go back and look at the ways that we've just outlined. He does it certainly through his Word. He does it somehow, but Paul affirms to us it's not miraculous strength. Perhaps it's enduring strength. How is it that Christians can undergo a difficult time? How is it when we see a Christian family going through a very difficult time, a time in which others would just cry, throw up their hands in defeat, and yet we see these people continuing to stay true to the Lord and remain faithful? How do they do that? Where do they find that strength to endure the difficult times that we experience in this world? Perhaps it's through this strength the Holy Spirit provides the child of God. A fourth thing, I love this one, is intercession. The Holy Spirit intercedes for children of God. Romans 8, 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. We do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Have you been there? Have you been in those times where you didn't really know what to pray for? The words just won't come. You don't know what to ask. If I understand this passage correctly, it says it's in those times that the Spirit is able to intercede for us and communicate to our Heavenly Father the deep needs of our hearts. I love to share this illustration that I've shared with you before, but I can't help but share it again. This mother's going by her little boy's room, and he normally would say a prayer before he went to sleep. And as she goes by his room, it sounds like he's praying. But all the words that are coming out of his mouth are the letters of the alphabet. He's saying A, B, C, D. So she listens as he goes through the whole alphabet. And after he's through and he says, in Jesus' name, amen, she goes in there and says, son, it sounded like you were praying, but all I was hearing was you saying the letters of the alphabet. What's the meaning of that? And the little boy replied, well, mom, I didn't know what to pray for, so I just sent the letters up to God and let Him put them together. That may not be far from a great illustration of what the Spirit does for you and for me. In those times where the words just can't be formed in our minds, but the needs are great in our lives, the Spirit takes the letters, the intents, the unspoken needs, and is able to communicate them effectively to our Heavenly Father. What a blessing that is. And a fifth and final of more that we could cite, but something else that the Holy Spirit does for the child of God today, that He bears fruit in our lives. I believe the work of the Holy Spirit is character formation in the lives of God's children. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Walking by the Spirit causes us to possess the fruit of the Spirit. How is that accomplished? It can be through the Word of God. It can be through the power that the Spirit gives in the inner man. It can be through the help of the Spirit in prayer. I will say this with all that I can muster. It requires our cooperation, 100% cooperation. We can't expect the Spirit to bear this fruit in our lives if we're not willing to cooperate. That's the only way it's going to happen. These attributes come from the Spirit who dwells in Christians. Their possession reflects the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in the lives of Christians. When we do not possess these attitude attributes, perhaps it's scriptures such as Ephesians 4 verse 30 that speaks about resisting the Spirit, or 1 Thessalonians 5:19, quenching the Spirit that may come to bear. But as the child of God seeks to follow in the steps of Jesus, is walking in the light of His Word, my understanding is that the Spirit transforms us more and more into the image of Jesus as we fully cooperate in that process. A little girl was saying to her mother, "Mom, we studied in Bible class that Jesus lives inside His children." And the mom replied, "Yes, honey, that's right. Galatians 2:20. Paul said, Jesus lives in me." And so this little girl, she began to look at her little body and said, "Well, if Jesus lives in me, shouldn't He stick out?" And the answer to that is, yes, He should stick out. Yes, the Spirit should stick out of our lives. How? When we see the fruit of the Spirit born: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those things should emulate. They should show forth from the life of the Christian. That's what the Spirit seeks to produce in our lives. So repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the gift that God gives to the child of God. He's the helper that every Christian in every age receives at baptism. No, He won't do what He did for the Christians in the apostolic community, but He's still the helper. He's still the helper. And He has not left the Christian alone in the world. There's room for more study and discussion, I recognize. But what a gift God gives when we surrender to Him on His terms. Like the Jews on Pentecost, you may have reached their conclusion. When Peter preached about Jesus, Peter and the apostles preached about Jesus, they were convicted of the fact that this one that they had just a few days before cried out for His crucifixion, that one God had made both Lord and Christ. They were cut to the heart, and they cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And they're asking, "Is there any hope for us? We've crucified the Messiah. Is there any hope for us?" And Peter responds, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift